This ceremony was officiated by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is head priest at the monastery and the abbess of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to this this morning's monastic ordination ceremony. My first, too. And I'd like to give a good morning, or whatever time of day it is, to Ollie and Amy in England, seeing your brother being fully ordained today. I'm glad you can be with us. Maybe your children are with you, too. And to the outside Sangha, and for all of you who are participating in today's ceremony. Sekou has been on a discernment of a monastic life for several years, going in and out of residency and eventually staying in residency. This ceremony marks the end of a period of novitiate, and he'll be taking the vows of full ordination. And I'm grateful for this opportunity with you. As many of us know, since the time of the Buddha, Buddhism has been primarily a monastic tradition and continues to be a central role within the Buddha Dharma. And the role of monasteries was primarily to house and train and grow monastics, dedicating to their lives to the Dharma within a community. And lay people have always been designated by the Buddha right from the start as part of the fourfold Sangha. I think there's more folds now in that material. That lay people were also developing very deeply their practice within family and work commitments, and lay practice as well, as we all know, continues today. So the thread continues that all practitioners of the Dharma have an important role in society, no matter where you enter. We're mutually interdependent with each other and dependent on each other, whether you're in the monastic monastery or outside in the lay life. And with the Dharma coming to this country, there's a few monasteries, few Buddhist monasteries that are housing and training people, dedicating their lives to the Dharma, living within a monastic life, a community, following monastic vows, and the monastery is one of them. As my teachers, Daito Roshi and Shugen Roshi, have elucidated on many occasions in their teaching, it is vitally important in the life of the Dharma, for the life of the Dharma, that both lay and monastic practices are distinct and nourished within communities, both of these paths. And we can keep learning these distinct roles and how they're needed and brought to light today, and truly how mutually independent, interdependent they are. So this is what we are all maintaining. And this ceremony today is held within the bowl of the Heart Sutra that we chanted this morning, and that we are truly in that interdependence, participants, everybody, everyone here today, you have a role in participating. And so for those who are drawn to the monastic life, it's important to be offering this opportunity, that it still is here, that a person can find it, that has that calling, and that we continue to hold open the possibility that this will be so, that a person can find a monastic life calling that can be responded to with a path. And for those who don't know about monastic vocation, that you have an opportunity to know about it as you are here today, if this is your first, to know that this exists. This is a viable way to live one's life, so you can pass that on to your children. So you are also here to support Sekou, and we need to know that this exists so we can also hear the vows and support a person living their vows with this singular focus. And as mentioned, Sekou's journey and that of every monastic here began through this process of entering the monastery. And at some point, one asks to become a student, a formal student. They may or may not be in residency, but as they're discerning a monastic path, that's required. We need to be living close together in a communal cloister, working with teachers, monastics, residents, companions, and all the lay practitioners who come in for retreats, and feel the constancy of being together and how one finds their alone life. And at some point, a person may request to take the Bodhisattva vows, which many lay people have done, Jukai, the Bodhisattva path. And Sekou completed this, Simon was given the name Sekou, which I'll speak to about later. And after a number of years practicing as a Jukai student, staying in residency, he began to express, or a person begins to express this calling, their feeling of a monastic life, of really wanting to stay and be in the Dharma and be in this kind of cloistered, disciplined life and begin exploring that. And they start working with the monastics closer, the senior monastics, the teachers, and might then enter a period of postulancy. I'm not going to go into great detail. These Shugen did a great talk recently on these stages. So primarily today I want to concentrate on the monastic vows. Also Sekou will receive the precepts again in this ceremony. At the precepts level, at the postulancy level, no vows are taken. A person will get into a black robe. That does something both for you and for the person, to just a piece of clothing that's dark, but it has a weight. It does have a symbol. It does carry something that a person begins to live into that garment, live into what that life is in that, the calling and the response. And they start to relate to themselves in such a way. And each step of that continues, postulancy, novitiate, full ordination, these are stages of formation. And you know, we've developed them so that at each place, we are being asked questions, just like many of you are in these portals of initiation, if you will, asked by elders, by peers, why do you want to do this? What's moving you? What's in your heart? What's it answering to? And I really have appreciated this, albeit difficult, because I wasn't asked many times in my own life, which many of us may not be, why we are making certain decisions just for a sounding board, and to hear ourselves articulate what something means for us. And perhaps from people who have walked such a path before us that can ask such questions, so we can discern as carefully as we can. So this is a rite of passage, or if you can call it an initiation, for Sekou in his heartfelt desire and clarification of a monastic path, stepping into full ordination. And the clarification and the vows he will take, like many of us who have taken vows, whether it's in marriage or in other ways, they're renewed constantly. Like every day you have to, I do at any rate, renew my vows, my commitments, the direction that I'm going in. So last night we shaved Sekou's head. I must say, it was like a little lamb, and it fell off like fresh snow. It really gave. Some of us have tough hair. His was very giving, just fell off. And we shaved the head as a physicalized manifestation of non-attachment. Hair grows back like weeds, so do attachments. They're very difficult to let go of. So it's a reminder, a symbol, if you will, of how habits proliferate and we keep working with them, right? It also reminds us of our home leaving. So in this ceremony, he'll enter soon, and he'll receive the few possessions of a monastic, the monastic robe, the Buddha bowl, the Buddha's bowl, the kesa, the bowing mat, the zagu, and will be given a full ordination name that releases his family name as he enters as a renunciate. So the Jisha will now bring Sekou in. I will narrate parts of it so you have a sense of the sequences, but the liturgy is so powerful, it'll do most of what we need to know. So first he will come in and he'll make three full bows, the first set of bows to the Buddha, intimately connected and indebted to this original teacher who laid out this path where we can actually liberate ourselves, and identifying with having awoken. And next he'll go and make three full bows to his parents, in the direction of his parents, whether they are alive or deceased, in recognition and gratitude for the gift of this life, of his parents nurturing him all along. The main altar will be closed, and here will be opened as the main altar established here. And his third set of bows will be made to Kaishi, his ordination teacher today, which is myself, representing the lineage of ancestors who have been ordaining monastics mind to mind from generation to generation down to this time and place. It's said that what's transmitted is entanglements. So to make your tangles go well. Entanglements are the gold. So next we'll do the invocation of the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the complete body, heart, mind of the student. And we invoke that we are intimately connected to Shakyamuni Buddha, the original teacher, which is your body and the body of all beings. The Dharma, all things, the teachings, because the teachings point to the essence of all things, the identity with all things. And the Sangha, the treasure, the community treasure, and this interconnection with everything. It's not just this community, it's the monastic community, your family community, Buddhist communities, the order of Buddhist communities, all beings, all things in the universe, animate and inanimate. All these are invoked and brought into this space right in here, right now, to witness your ordination. I'm going to do the first part in Japanese, then in English, and then finish in Japanese to honor that part of the lineage that we're connected to. Seiza. Namo jipo, everybody please gassho. Namo jipo butsu namo jipo ho namo jipo so namo hanchi shakyamuni butsu namo daizu dai ha kyuku kanzean bosa namo daijin fugen bosa namo daishin manju shri bosa namo koso joyo daishi namo toso josa daishi namo riki dai so shi bosa tsu. Be one with the Buddha in the 10 directions. Be one with the Dharma in the 10 directions. Be one with the Sangha in the 10 directions. Be one with our original teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha. Be one with the great compassionate Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. Be one with the great wise Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. Be one with the great wise Manjushri Bodhisattva. Be one with Koso Joyo Daishi. Be one with Taiso Josai Daishi. Be one with the great successive. Be one with the successive great ancestors. Namo jipo butsu namo jipo ho namo jipo so namo hanchi shakyamuni butsu namo daizu daihi kyuku kanzeon bosa namo daijin fugen bosa namo daishin manju shri bosa namo koso joyo daishi namo taiso josa daishi namo riki daiso shi bosa tsu. Now the monastics will chant the gatha on shaving the head. In a drifting, wandering world, it is very difficult to cut off our human ties. Now we toss them away and enter true activity. It is in this way I express our gratitude. As we shave our heads, renew our vows to live a life of simplicity, service, stability, selflessness, and to accomplish the Buddha's way, may we manifest our life with wisdom and compassion and actualize the Tathagata's true teaching. In the drifting, wandering world, it is very difficult to cut off our human ties. Now we cast them away and enter true activity. It is in this way that we express our gratitude. As we shave our heads, we renew our vows to live a life. life of simplicity, service, stability, selflessness, and to accomplish the Buddha's way. May we manifest our lives with wisdom and compassion and actualize the Tathagata's true teaching. In the drifting, wandering world, it is very difficult to cut off our human ties. Now we cast them away and enter true activity. It is in this way that we express our gratitude. As we shave our heads, we renew our vows to live a life of simplicity, stability, selflessness, and to accomplish the Buddha's way. May we manifest our lives with wisdom and compassion and actualize the Tathagata's true teaching. Only a Buddha can remove this lock of hair. Do I have your permission to do so?
Yes.
We save the top knot, which comes off now. So this will be joined with the hair that came off with the permission of novitiate and will be returned to the earth with the rest of the hair. Yep, still in there. Hasn't leapt out. Now he'll be receiving the karoma, the black robe of the monastic, and the shikhan, the belt. Did it burn? I burnt it. Sorry. You'll have your first patch on your patch robe, monk outfit. Next is the Gatha of Atonement. The Gatha of At-One-ment, of non-separation. The way that we can begin again fresh, acknowledging any harm that we've created through our thoughts, words, and actions, consciously or unconsciously. Intentionally or unintentionally, things that may sit heavily and burden our heart and mind, and things we may have forgotten about, we atone for. At one with, that we can have space to move forward with energy that may have been bundled up in our regrets, in our remorse, in our suppression. And now to focus it into your monastic life, deepen your understanding of yourself and others and karma of action, of body, mouth, and thought, and the actions of being human and how we create them. It also alerts all our ancestors both in the Dharma and our genetic ancestors, of our intentions to atone. So we're making new pathways and freeing yourself to use that good that can be just put out in many ways. Channel it with your monastic vows, the Dharma, the Sangha, practice vows to alleviate suffering. Put all that energy that was bundled up in that being at one with all of that. And that will atone over and over. It doesn't just drop like that. We know this. So we'll keep atoning to free yourself. So this is a calling and answering chant. I'll start off and then you'll answer, and we'll do it three times. Everybody please, Gassho. All evil karma ever committed by me since of old. Of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. Born of my body, mouth, and thought. Now I atone for it all. Evil karma ever committed by me since of old. On account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. Born of my body, mouth, and thought. Atone for it all. All evil karma ever committed by me since of old. On account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. My body, mouth, and thought. Now I atone for it all. Next will be the asperging, recognizing your Buddha mind, the Buddha mind. And this is done with mountain water and a sprig from our pine trees here on the property. It's not a purification ceremony, a purification, because everything is already pure. But it's a mind-to-mind connectedness between teacher and student, the mind of the Buddha passing all the way down generation after generation to this time and this place. So now we'll take refuge in the three treasures. Having invoked them, now you'll take refuge in the three treasures. So this is an expression of giving yourself wholeheartedly, as Dogen would say, unreservedly, to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, which is for all practitioners. This is the beginning of receiving the precepts. I will chant this three times, and the second time will be a calling and answering. Okay. Everybody, please, Gassho. Namo kiye butsu, namo kiye ho, namo kiye so, ki butsu mujo san, ki he rinjan san, ki e so, waiko san, ki e bukyo, ki e hokyo, ki e so kyo. I take refuge in the Buddha.
I take refuge in the Dharma.
I take refuge in the Sangha.
I take refuge in the
Buddha, the incomparably honored one.
I take refuge in the Dharma, honorable for its purity.
I take refuge in the Sangha, honorable for its harmony.
I have taken refuge in the Buddha.
Refuge in the Dharma.
I have taken refuge in the Sangha.
Namokie butsu namokie ho namokie so ki butsu mujo san kie ho rinjon san kie so wago san ke bukyo ke hokyo ke so kyo.
Kie is that unreservedly throwing yourself into the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Unreservedly, not holding back. So years ago, you took the Bodhisattva precepts, and this morning you'll be receiving them again in the ceremony. And for this part, I will just add Dogen's commentary on each precept. There's a lot of bows in this ceremony. As you feel into your own bows, you know, what does that do to you when you lower yourself again and again to the ground, raise your Bodhi mind as we lift our hands? You're said to have the Buddha on the palms of your hands. And so each time you go down into that, what is a very vulnerable position, we don't see anything. It takes a lot, our whole being, to go down and then to raise the Bodhi mind. So it does something to us when we have to do many of them. First, we'll take refuge in the three pure precepts. Do not create evil. This is the abiding place of all Buddhas. This is the very source of all Buddhas. Do not create evil. Will you maintain this?
I vow to not create evil.
This is the heart of it. Don't make harm. The second pure precept is to practice good. This is the Dharma, Asamyaksambodhi. This is the way of all beings. Practice good. Will you maintain this?
I vow to practice good.
The third pure precept is to actualize this good for others. This is to transcend the profane and to be beyond the holy. This is to liberate oneself and others. Actualize good for others. Will you maintain this?
I vow to actualize good for others.
Next is the 10 grave precepts, which teaches us how to practice these pure precepts, how to not create harm, how to practice good and actualize that good for others. They point to the ways we create the most binding karma with ourselves and with each other. The first of the 10 grave precepts, affirm life, do not kill. Life is non-killing. The seed of Buddha grows continuously.
maintain the wisdom life of Buddha and do not kill life. Affirm life. Do not kill. Will you maintain this?
I vow to affirm life. I will not kill.
These take a lot of reflection and contemplation because they're vast with this, what they mean in our life. The second grave precept is to be giving. Do not steal. The mind and externals are just thus. The gate of liberation is open. Be giving, do not steal. Will you maintain this?
I vow to be giving, I will not steal.
The third grave precept is to honor the body. Do not misuse sexuality. The three wheels, body, mouth, and mind, greed, anger, and ignorance, are pure and clean. Nothing is desired. Go the same way as the Buddha. Honor the body. Do not misuse sexuality. Will you maintain this?
I vow to honor the body. I will not misuse sexuality.
The fifth grave precept is to proceed clearly. Do not cloud the mind. So all the ways we can cloud our mind, some obvious, some not so obvious, that you're studying this. The mind is the originally pure and clear Buddha mind. Do not let it become cloudy. Do not let it be defiled. Proceed clearly. Do not cloud the mind. Will you maintain this?
I vow to proceed clearly. I will not cloud the mind.
The sixth grade precept is to see the perfection. Do not speak of others' errors and faults. In the midst of the Buddha Dharma, we are the same way. The same Dharma, the same realization, and the same practice. Do not speak of others' errors and faults. Do not destroy the way. See the perfection. Do not speak of others' errors and faults. Will you maintain this?
I vow to see the perfection. I will not speak of others' errors and faults.
We see in our lives we break the precepts constantly. That's what they're there for. And we can always return. That's what they're there for. The seventh grade precept, realize self and other as one. Do not elevate the self and blame others. Buddhas and ancestors realized the absolute emptiness and realized the whole earth. When the great body is manifested, there is neither outside nor inside. When the Dharma body is manifested, there is not a single square inch of earth upon which to stand. Realize self and other as one. Do not elevate the self and blame others. Will you maintain this?
I vow to realize self and other as one. I will not elevate the self and blame others.
Give generously, this eighth precept. Give generously, do not be withholding. One phrase, one verse, 10,000 forms, 100 grasses, one Dharma, one realization, all Buddhas, all ancestors. Since the beginning, there has never been anything to withhold. Give generously. Do not be withholding. Will you maintain this?
I vow to give generously. I will not be withholding.
The ninth grave precept is to actualize harmony. Do not be angry. It is not regressing. It is not advancing. It is not real. It is not unreal. There is an illuminated cloud ocean and there is an ornamental cloud ocean. Actualize harmony. Do not be angry.
Will you maintain this?
I vow to actualize harmony. I will not be angry.
How do we use our anger well? This energy of anger to serve all beings. The 10th grade precept is to experience the intimacy of things. Do not defile the three treasures. Living the Dharma with the whole body and mind is the heart of wisdom and compassion. All virtues return to the ocean of reality. You should not comment on them. Just practice them, realize them, and actualize them. The moral and ethical teachings of the Buddha are thus: practice them well and bring life to the Buddha. Experience the intimacy of things. Do not defile the three treasures. Will you maintain this?
I vow to experience the intimacy of things. I will not defile the three treasures.
So, at this time, you have discerned the monastic life, and this will be an ongoing and ever-deepening process of development and trust and confidence in the life of taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So you're entering by choice this home leaving. So these next monastic vows express the spiritual life that you're entering into, which we can't cover in these words. But there are vows, and these will guide you on your path of dissolving dualities, enlightenment and delusion, inner and outer, sacred and mundane, monastic and lay, in this time, in this place, in this community, in this lineage. And the Sangha, as I mentioned in the beginning, and your friends and family also need to know the life you are living and dedicating your life to help you maintain your vows. These vows were developed by Daito Roshi, who felt it was necessary that a monastic have these. And these were passed down from Daito Roshi. The first of the monastic vow is the vow of simplicity that we chanted in the Gathon Shaving the Head. What is simplicity? Our culture is swirling and increasingly complex, filled with lots of objects, speed, images, information. This is the world we're in. And a monastic's life is to simplify your desires, your reaching out for these externals. Move towards things that are more wholesome and freeing. Not to be a slave to these complexities. It's not being naive or simplistic. It's finding joy without adornment, without clutter, without distractions, too many distractions, relying on the bare essentials, being close to this earth, to the elements of air, water, fire, earth, space, without hindrance. Constantly developing your understanding of the nature of fear and karma. Not accumulating property or wealth or having excessive possessions. You're really a caretaker for all that you have. Your possessions are your robe and your bowls. So that all of the energy that went into maintaining those things can now go into your vows. And we cut off our ties. This vow is to cultivate simplicity, to find your fulfillment humbly in body and mind and thought as such. If you do receive wealth, you may give it away. The monastic lives a life of simplicity. Will you vow to maintain a life of simplicity?
I vow to maintain a life of simplicity.
And you'll be finding many more ways that that vow comes alive as things get complicated. The next is a vow of stability. This is the development of the vow of constancy, of recognizing that the spiritual life is a disciplined life in the sense of giving oneself freely to one thing so one can be liberated by that one thing, monastic, monos. A life committed to practicing, realizing, and actualizing through deep study and experience, then giving it all away. That's a vow of stability. It's defined as a clear resolve, mental equilibrium, remaining upright and straightforward and humble in speech and actions. Wonderful ways to reflect on the vow of stability. These vows are taken within the changes and fluctuations of your life. What is that stability as things change and fluctuate? To know the body, mind, and heart, what is and is not disturbed within all these shifts and appearances, living more from the ground of your being. Stability also includes that your primary life decisions, work, children, having children or not, relationships have been considered and are settled, so there's no other responsibilities that would interfere with your monastic life. There's enough stability, settled. In a monastic's life, if they want to enter the monastic life and they have children, they need to raise their children before entering into the monastic life. That you don't need excess travel, you will see your family across the ocean, that's for sure. That this is where you make your life. This is the universe for you. When the ground wavers or becomes challenging and shaking where you stand, you use this vow to find stability. In emotion, in intention, using all the disturbances as the path of stability. And that's where it's really alive. The monastic lives a vow of stability. Will you vow to live a life of stability?
I vow to live a life of stability.
We can all reflect on that in our own life, not just as a monastic. How do we find stability in the fluctuations and changings of this world? Next is a vow of service. Many who have been in positions of giving and service have said how much that enriches their life, that we are of the nature to be given. And when that happens in our life, that brings so much more happiness. So something to keep in mind in a life of service, to cease from doing harm, because harm does not ever go together with being of benefit. It's easy to be drawn into selfishness, what's good for you, just for you and yours. And this vow is to free you of that, to be of service, because your nature is giving. All creatures' natures are to give. And this vow is to allow your life to become one large offering response to every person, to every creature, in every situation, at all places. That's how large. Yeah.
free from being confined by self-concern. This does not ignore the necessity of taking care of yourself, of oneself. Buddha didn't encourage extremes. If a monastic does not take care of themselves, your practice, your physical body, your emotional health, how can you be of service to others? Has to go both ways. Daido Roshi reminded us when we wear a raksu, we're basically hanging out a shingle. How can I be of service to you? Service to your teachers, your monastic companions, to the Sangha. This is the vow of great compassion, so to be looking and freeing yourself of anything that would get in the way of that. To live in service is to bow, offer, be generous, with no thought of reward. As we studied the slogan, don't expect applause or getting something in return. Otherwise, we'll be disappointed. Giving is just giving. The monastic's life lives a life of service. Will you vow to live a life of service?
I vow to live a life of service.
The next is a vow of selflessness. That's the heart of being. It's the blood of the Dharma. It's life itself. Selflessness is prajna, wisdom, karuna, compassion. Skillful means to realize and actualize in every moment. This is not you. You are not this. This is not yours. It's yours to take responsibility for and use well. All these expressions of our basic nature arise from selflessness. Selflessness, from the great truth which cannot be seen, heard, measured, and compared. Whenever suffering appears, there is a self present, be it jealousy, blame, stinginess. A sense of self is present. When we enter selflessness as a direct experience, it is our everyday practice. It is your nature. So examine, practice, realize, actualize, plumb the depths of this selflessness. At the same time, it's not a thing. It's something to be realized and returned to. The monastic lives a life of selflessness. Will you vow to live a life of selflessness?
I vow to live a life of selflessness.
And the fifth monastic vow is to accomplish the Buddha's way. Aims high. Aims really high. Each vow is all the Buddha's way to live a life in harmony. It's the spirited manner of a Buddha. The origin of the word Buddha, Bodhi, is Bud, means to awaken, to know, to wake up, be awake, recover your consciousness, observe. Buddha means the awakened one. How to awaken is what the Buddha taught. The Buddha's way is to learn the art of living, mastering, and bring the mind and bringing it back to the reality of the present, unifying body, mind, and reality. And Buddha is a good example of a person who studied causes and conditions. Buddha said, understand karma, understand karma. He was an incredible student of life, maintaining the life of a seeker
And as a monastic, you'll be finding great inspiration, I hope, from these many ancestors before us who have accomplished the Buddha's way, developed courage, patience, kindness, generosity, humor, fierceness, all of it. Recognizing life is a living experience, living and dying many times a day, that you will need to choose this life every day, renew your vows every day. Tradition is a vessel so that your practice remains fresh, vibrant, and alive, and in touch with tradition, as well as moving in accord with this time now, and this place, and this circumstance. So looking backward and looking forward, reflecting always deeply on how to practice, how to best practice. So to keep investigating, one of the dangers is that we stop. And, you know, sometimes we take these new steps and it's over, but it's always just beginning. The monastic lives in accord with the Buddha's way. Will you vow to accomplish the Buddha's way?
I vow to accomplish the Buddha's way.
These 16 precepts, the three treasures, the three pure precepts, the 10 grave precepts, have been handed down by Shakyamuni Buddha, generation after generation, to me. These five monastic vows have been given to me by my teacher, Daido Roshi. Now I give them to you. Will you maintain them well?
I will.
Will you maintain them well?
I will.
Will you really maintain them well?
I will.
Three bows. Sometimes we have to say things a few times. Call it, respond. I will. I will. I will. Will you? I will. Every day. Everybody, please, Gassho. When sentient beings receive the sila, they enter the realm of the Buddhas, which is none other than the great enlightenment. Truly, they are the children of the Buddha. When sentient beings receive the sila, they enter the realm of the Buddhas, which is none other than the great enlightenment. Truly, they are the children of the Buddha. When sentient beings receive the sila, they enter the realm of the Buddhas, which is none other than the great enlightenment. Truly, they are the children of the Buddha. Now, Sekku will receive the Raksu, the Buddha bowl, and the lineage chart. Just help me with the bottom. The Buddha's Raksu. So this is, though you'll have other bowls, you get this. This is your Buddha bowl. And even though the monastics take a vow of simplicity, we have this large bowl. Still determining the right amount. Lineage chart of ancestors, Kichimyaku. as a certificate. That's later. When's the certificate? When is that? Kesa. Now? Okay. So now we'll chant the verse of the Kesa. When does the... Just want to see. Okay. So we'll chant the verse of the case. Okay. The Buddha's robe. Everybody, please, Gassho. A while.
Please help.
Some of the movements of the Kesa turn us inside, outside, inside, outside, again and again. No distinction. Zagu, bowing mat. This Kesa goes back to the time of the Buddha wearing the Kesa. And it's from the Koroman robe from our Japanese lineage. Doshinji Certificate of Ordination. This is to certify that Simon Sekou Harrison, having fulfilled the monastic training requirements of the Mountains and Rivers Order, has on this 28th day of July, 2024, received the 16 precepts of the Buddha Way, monastic life vows, full monastic ordination, Roksu, lineage chart, robe, bowl, and the Dharma name Dayo, Fucho Hojin, ordination teacher. Now, we can leave it there. Now Sekou will walk through the zendo, pass in front of everyone's seat in Jihai. Please return his bow with a seated bow. This is your showing your support. You can sit back. So I'll just say a little bit about the names. Your Jukai name was Seku, and Sek is making contact with, being intimate with, touching, and Ku is sky-like nature, being intimate with your sky-like nature. And Dayo, your monastic name, and really I consider like the Jukai name is for you as a practitioner. And this monastic name is more your name as you serve the world and the community. So Dayo, Dai is the Dai that Daido had, great, big, large, expansive, vast. And O is like the O from Orioki, response, answering back. The receiver's response to the food in Orioki. So this is a great, large, expansive, responding. Dayo Seko Seku, great response, connected and intimate with your sky-like nature. So just a short closing remark. I have a whole thing of things, but I just want to keep it simple and use a quote from Thomas Merton to end here, what he wrote about a monastic being. A monastic being, a person in motion who seeks stillness, who is embracing all of life, passing beyond all the limiting forms, while retaining all that is best and most universal in them, giving birth to a fully comprehensive self, accepting not only their own community, their own society, their own friends, their own culture, but all of person kind. May insights come like a swift sword cutting through complications and confusions. May they always be coupled with the slower movements of the heart. Unifying your heart, body, and mind, where the clouds and the sky are seen just the same. May your life go well. May our lives go well.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about ZMM's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit us online at zmm.org.